You're listening to the Full On Happiness Podcast, episode 15.
Are you longing to be full on happiness? Well, you found the right spot. I'm Gina Martini, and this is a podcast about the pursuit of living a fulfilling life.
Hello, friends. How are you today? You are in for a real treat. We have a special edition of the Full On Happiness Podcast today, and that is a very special guest. And it is Kristen Lohr from We Are Soul Sparks. She has a beautiful Instagram called We Are Soul Sparks, which you need to pause everything you're doing and go look it up. I've mentioned it before, but she is absolutely wonderful. And basically, this is how this went down. Totally have a coach and Insta crush on her. So I reached out to her and said, hey, I have this podcast. It's kind of new. I love your work. I love what you do. I kind of think that we're going to be friends. So would you let me interview you? Would you want to come on? And she said, yes, she was totally open to it. And I'm so honored and so grateful that she agreed to it and that you get to listen in to this beautiful conversation with her. See, she is such a light and she is truly such a spark, right? Her brand, We Are Soul Sparks, is very in alignment with who she is. She is such a spark and she's so real and authentic. And I just appreciate her honesty and her vulnerability. And I love the conversation we had around just life and coaching and how she got to where she's at and what it means to be happy. And one thing I love about her is the line that she uses a lot, which is, we're all in this together. Because at the end of the day, that we are. And that is such a beautiful thing to remember. You know, I say it a lot, and that's how I knew, I read a lot of her work, and that's how I knew we were going to get along so well, is because, we're all in this together, and our souls are all connected in a way, and we're all on this journey, and we're all doing the best that we can. And I think that our conversation around that is very healing. And so if you ever have felt alone or misunderstood or embarrassed or ashamed about something, I really think you're going to find a lot of value in this conversation, because I know that we've all have felt that way before. So I can't wait to hear what you think. If you want to learn more about Kristen, you can go to her website at kristinlohr.com. It's kristinlohr.com. And then again, her Insta is We Are Soul Sparks. So thanks for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys real soon. Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for coming to the Full On Happiness Podcast. You are my first official guest.
Woohoo! I'm so excited to be here.
I love when you blind reach out to people and just basically say, do you want to be my friend?
Because that's kind of what happens. I love it. And I loved your subject, whatever was like, hey, hi, hello, or whatever. I'm like, and I literally say that to people all the time. So I'm like, okay, we're already friends.
Perfect.
I love it.
We're soul friends already. I also, the tagline of Full On Happiness used to be nourish your soul. So when I discovered Soul Sparks, I'm like, oh, soul connection right here.
It's meant to be.
Okay, so I first discovered you. So we'll give a little background for our listeners. As I first discovered you, from your Instagram, We Are Soul Sparks. And I actually, the way that I do it is I curate 5 things from the week that make me happy, and you were one of my 5 things. So can you give people a little background of, how you created We Are Soul Sparks? What does it mean? What's the inspiration behind it? Just a little history.
Yeah, so We Are Soul Sparks is my Instagram. I've had it for about a year and a half. Okay, so to kind of go way back, I've always been the kind of person who, people just come to me for forever. Like all my friends, I'm the go-to person for advice, just kind of have been a coach for, since I was walking and talking. So that one day I was going through some of my favorite Pinterest quotes, and because they have like a whole board of Pinterest quotes of everything, and I send them to my friends if they're going through a breakup, or I send them, if they hit starting a new job or whatever. And I just had this idea. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can create this. I can put stuff out there too and have it be my own, version of all this, and have, almost just an easier way to connect with people. So I followed some of my favorite Insta blogs. So like Create the Love with Mark Groves, Vienna Farion, I think is how you're saying her name, for
Love
Mindful MFT. And they have all these little Insta blogs. And so it was like literally the same day that I was going through my Pinterest. I'm like, I wish I could just do this. I wish I could just like send the world my Pinterest quotes. And I stumbled upon these. I'm like, oh my God, it's meant to be. So I just kind of started creating my own content then and kind of putting it out there. And I guess that's the background for some of that.
Sure. And then the We Are Soul Sparks, like, did you have a moment where you're like, that's going to be the name?
So I really originally wanted Soul Sparks, but that was already taken. And so I was kind of going through all the different versions of all the different, you know, the different ways to say it. And I landed on We Are Soul Sparks because I love the idea of community. Like, I loved the idea of like, we're all in this together. Yes. That it's, I love the Soul Sparks because there's just energy behind it. Like, words are so important. I love what you write. So it's like, obviously you get that. Like, so there's just energy behind Soul Sparks and that, you know, kind of that feeling of like magic and connection. So I loved that. And I ended up loving the We Are Soul Sparks, the kind of community feeling behind that too.
Yeah. I love it. Like, I, even when I wrote to you, like some of your words that you use in the language about we're all in this together or like coming home to yourself. The idea of we're in this together, I say it all the time because I think that like with humans, like we don't want to feel alone, right? Like our souls are all connected in some way.
Yeah,
I love how you bring that to life.
Well, thank you. I love that too. And I want to say, I love what you write too. We're on the same wavelength with
thank
all of
you.
That.
Yes, writing is like the way that I pour out my soul.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned Pinterest for your quotes. Mm-hmm. So when I was young, I had a Word document. I still have it somewhere on my computer. There's like hundreds of quotes on there. So you said
I
you,
love it.
You mentioned Pinterest. How do you always find a new next quote?
Yeah. So like I still have, you know, my Pinterest boards, I will go through. It's part of like my daily, you know, practice now of going through Pinterest and just looking at different quotes. So I always have about 100 in my bank for whatever. I also do screenshots of other people that I follow, you know, online of, and upload those directly to Pinterest too. So I kind of just always are, you know, always finding new things that are so inspiring. That's the great thing about things are always being written. There's always new content being put out there and it's just, so yes, it pretty much is Pinterest and Instagram that I kind of collect all my quotes. But
okay, one of my favorite ones, and I totally have a girl crush on her, is the Sophia Bush quote.
Yes,
I don't know if that's like one of your most shared, but
I've
been a One Tree Hill fan like my whole life. So.
Me too, so hardcore.
Yes, yeah, so that was.
And she's just amazing. She is so cool.
I know. Doesn't she live in Chicago?
Yes, and like I always like I'm like stalking around like where they film because I see them like around and I'm like, okay, I just want to go and fangirl all over her.
Totally.
Not yet. Haven't seen her yet, but one day I'll find her.
Okay, I want to ask you about Chicago, but first, two more questions because again, obsessed with We Are Soul Sparks. How the watercolor? I remember when I was first doing the logo for Full On Happiness, I was like, I want to do watercolor because I feel like it's this like messy, beautiful art. And I thought that there was such symbolism in that. So tell me just a little bit, like how do you do those? Where do you get them? Any symbolism behind the watercolor?
So, no, I don't do them. I wish I did, but I got them off of Creative Market. So it's like they're templates and there's a bunch of different watercolor templates that I just kind of collect for no reason. I just buy them for like 10 bucks, 15 bucks. They're really cheap, but I make them all in Photoshop. So just kind of really quickly, I download the template, then I type them all. I'm not really good at being efficient with them. Like I do like literally every morning, I go through my Pinterest. I see what kind of speaks to me. I pull up my Photoshop. I like do it right then. But I am so the same with the watercolor. I've always been drawn to it. I'm very like aesthetically driven. Like my Pinterest is always just also things for like branding, even though I was in college when I first had my Pinterest, like it wasn't really anything about branding, but I've always put like watercolor into that. Cause I think it's true. I think it's now thinking back about it, it is messy. It's messy, but it's beautiful. And there's like, they bleed into each other and it's just, I love the continuity. It's very fluid. So I love that, but I didn't really put the connection until right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that totally works with your branding. Like it's just the messiness of life, you know, and it's also just this beautiful picture. So I love it. Okay, and then also your newsletter. So this is another reason I feel connected to you, is because like I have a newsletter that I pour my heart and soul in every week, and your words are, you have a beautiful way of like kind of tying in a quote and then just some good life message. So I mean, do you find inspiration from those specifically anywhere, or like can you tell us just your process of kind of writing that and just your experience with it?
Yeah. So once again, it's kind of like right in the moment. Like, so my newsletter goes out every Wednesday and I am just now thinking about what I want to write about, like for tomorrow. So it's normally, I don't know, it's what I feel pulled to. And it's, I have a whole thing on Pinterest too that are longer. So those quotes tend to be longer because you can fit more in and there's more meat to kind of go into the quotes themselves. And I kind of save those longer ones for my newsletter. And then, you know, I don't really know. It's really just whatever is speaking to me at the time. I do take a lot of inspiration from my, you know, with my friends when they're going through things. Sometimes I think about, this is for anything. This is for both Instagram and my newsletter. If I'm like, a lot of times I say, wake up and like, what do I need to hear right now? Like, what do I need to read? And a lot of that, so a lot of that comes from myself personally, what I want to read in long form. But also, you know, what my friends are going through. So those are kind of what I go through at the time, but it's just kind of seeing what speaks to your soul, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I feel really similar to that. And especially I think in the coaching world, you know, as coaches, sometimes we, yeah, it's like the telling your, what do I really need to hear right now? Mm-hmm. And being your own best client in a way, mm-hmm. I think that comes through when you're a coach, like you're kind of, you know, way being your best client a lot of days. you have to coach yourself first, right?
Totally. And I think it's really interesting with coaching too, and you can probably see this as well, of I feel like I always am attracting clients that are mirroring some things that are going on within myself, and it's almost freaky. And it's such the beauty of all of this that we're never done changing, right? So it's not like the coaches have all the answers. It's not like the therapists have all the answers. They themselves are going through their own journey. So I think it's such a cool thing to really see how similar a lot of times my journey is with people that I'm helping. That's just a side note. But
yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let me ask you about coaching then. So I find that, you know, again, like we best serve people that like we've experienced something on our own that they've experienced, mm-hmm. right? So in your own journey, you know, to kind of discovering life coaching, becoming a coach, like, is there anything that you feel like was a something you've really overcome in your life, or a challenge, or something that then you now serve people with?
Yeah. So yes, I think it's also just really interesting. I think a lot of my own journey has been around body issues, like body image issues, which is not really what I coach on, but it's the process. Because it all, our inner struggle with worthiness can manifest in so many different ways, right? It can be toxic relationships. It can be overeating. It can be, you know, restriction. It can be, you know, any sort of thing, alcohol, partying, promiscuous behavior, like anything, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's how it manifested for me. And it's something, I mean, I'll always deal with it. It's something that I'm always kind of going through as well. But I do think that that has been where I've really seen that worthiness issue manifest. So I've gone through that. Come out of it. I've gone back into it. You know, it's kind of all that journey. But I've also, and this might sound just very woo-woo, but I do believe that I'm like a little bit of an old soul. I feel like I'm very empathetic in terms of when I coach people, when I'm helping my friends, when I'm helping my family members, I feel like I'm instantly in their shoes. And so even if I haven't specifically been in that situation, I get it. And like, there's no judgment, and I can be there so quickly. And I think that's something where I think you just are given, like you're born that way sometimes there too. So I haven't necessarily been through every single struggle that people that I coach with have been through. But I'm able to get there. So I know that's, once again, super woo-woo. But
No, that's a beautiful quality. I think that's just the most admirable quality of a coach. Because, you know, I think sometimes, at least in my own experience, there's been some fear or shame around, oh, I identify myself as a coach. That must mean I have to have it all figured out and be, you know, have it all together. But the reality is, like, that's not true. But I'm committed to learning and growing and doing the work and being as real and authentic as I can. So it's kind of what you're saying is like, it's, you're always kind, you're willing to always kind of explore. Mm-hmm. And you know, so yeah, there's this thing where we don't all have it figured out. And that's the beauty of it.
Totally. And I often say too that coaching should be transformative, not informative. You know, like we're not there to talk down to people or to yes, teach, but it's not like we're up there giving a presentation or facilitating. It's really about asking the right questions and being there with someone and just holding space for them and unlocking those answers within themselves. We don't have to have the answers. And often we don't. I don't want to come in to a coaching engagement and be like, I know your life. Like, I know everything about you. Here's your best way of going about it. Like, I want to really hold space for them to come up with that on their own. So
sure. Yeah. Like it's not our job to fix people. It's to hold the space to help them, you know, discover their own answers and insights.
Totally.
Okay. So let's rewind back a little just because I want like the Kristen history and story. Okay. So I know you grew up in Kansas and now you live in Chicago. So give me the high level, your journey.
Sure. Let's was born. Just kidding.
I was like 1980.
Right. Totally. I'm from Kansas City. I went to University of Kansas for undergrad, studied positive psychology. Once again, I have always just been in the space of helping people. Although I had probably about six different majors. I started off with interior design. I went to journalism. I went to pre-med. I went to like English for a while. I mean, I don't know. I was all over the board, but was always taking psychology electives. And then one day it hit me. I'm like, why am I not just doing this? Because this is what I like love. I'm like, this is like who I am. So, my first job was with a company called Gallup, and they were a management consulting firm, and they have I instantly got hired into be a workplace consultant. So I was able to help people hire, kind of an HR space, and then I was put directly into coaching. So I mean, I'm 22 and I'm able to be going right off into coaching managers and interns and executives, like all across the board. And it was incredible. And they have a very, very like positive psychology based, strength based approach, which is what I tapped right into. So it's called Strengths Finder, which is a personality assessment, and just really helps people focus on what they do well versus what they need to fix. Because you'll never be good at what you're bad at. You know, you can be average at best, but if we can really focus on where you're drawn to, where your flow is, where you just shine, why don't we use that to really kind of be your best self? So that was that. And I was there for 5 years and I just literally just left. And I was in Omaha, Nebraska. So I was there for 2 years and then I moved to Chicago because I love the big city. And so I just left about a week ago. So I'm off on my own now, kind of doing my life coaching full time. And it's super exciting, but I'm also like, what have I done? You know,
it's a scary leap, girl. I totally get it. Yeah.
But it's so worth it. I'm like, I'm already just in my element. So,
that's so nice. Okay. So Kansas to Omaha to Chicago, all for their corporate job, which was really about at 22, basically you got thrown into coaching roles.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Can you tell us, okay. And by the way, when you're talking about positive psychology, did you ever, cause I did, so I have to ask you, did you ever look into getting your master's in positive psych?
I did. Like more of the hands-on, just go do it,
sure,
rather than the research side of it. The more I went into the higher education, it's too on the research side, and that's not where I want to be.
Sure.
So I did, but it just wasn't for me. You know, I wanted to go and just get out there.
Yeah, yeah. I did the Science of Happiness course through Berkeley Greater Good Science Center, and then I did I think it was through the University of Chapel Hill. It was just like a 6-week positive psychology course with her name.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Barbara. I can't remember. Yeah.
That's already.
Totally. Yeah. I feel really similar to you as well. That, you know, once you get into the higher education, it is more research, and I'm like, my brain isn't very research oriented. So much more like people wanting to be in front of people. But okay, I had to ask because yes, that affinity for the study of positive psychology.
Oh, really?
I too was a psychology undergrad, so.
Oh, love it.
Okay, separately unrelated, tell me about living in Chicago.
I love it. I just love the energy. The winter sucks.
Yeah.
And this winter was actually really hard. It wasn't that cold, but it was just gray for a long period of time. Like just gray and drizzly, and I mean, that was hard, but I love the energy. The energy of a skyline is like, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's like that and the ocean are like, they're those two things that just like, I just feel like I am, I'm part of this big thing. Like I'm part of the universe. Like when I see a skyline or the ocean, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's amazing. I love the people that I meet here. I love that it's still Midwest. So it's, you know, people are nice. It's not, you know, it's not so intense, but you still get a lot of people from all walks of life. So like right now I'm like looking out over like my apartment, which is my little studio apartment for now, which now is my office. So that's going to be a challenge there.
I get it.
But I'm looking out to Lake Michigan and I'm like, I just love being by the water and, you know, being here. So it's been an amazing 3 years. I am probably going to do a lot more traveling now that I'm on my own and going to probably during the winter. Going down to California, so
yay,
you know, kind of go
different
exactly. But I love it. I love Chicago.
Okay, I had to ask because I don't know if you read this, but I've moved a lot. So San Francisco, New York, San Diego. I went to Chicago. I want to say it was like in the fall, and it was so beautiful. Like we went to a baseball game, we rode bikes,
yep.
And right we ran on that like
Lakefront
Michigan. Path. Yes,
yeah.
So mm-hmm. I love Chicago. So I just wanted to ask your personal experience of it.
It's been great so far. And once again, I don't know. I get pretty restless as a person. Like I like mm-hmm. to move a lot, mm-hmm. Or just change things up. So who knows? But I don't feel like. It's a place, the first place that I feel pretty rooted in. I want to travel more, but I just feel good here. It's my energy.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. What other cities have you thought about?
I thought about Austin before.
Me
I
too.
Thought about, you know, I thought about Nashville for a little bit. I've thought about Southern California. I thought about Northern California. Charleston. I love Charleston, but that's probably a little bit of an older crowd for some things.
Sure.
But yeah, so I think it's, so many places, but I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay here for a little bit more. I got to just, you know, mm-hmm. try to calm down.
Well, I just think the concept of moving, I'm the same. Like, I wish I could, I want to live in so many cities at once sometimes,
okay.
But yeah, embracing the travel,
that's
travel
what I'm
lifestyle.
Trying to learn.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay. So back to, so now you're out on your own, mm-hmm. You're at Gallup for several years. Can you mm-hmm. tell us a little, because I've seen a lot of StrengthsFinder stuff. And mm-hmm. of course, with psychology and positive psychology and personality tests, right now I'm super into the Enneagram, I think it's called.
Yeah, Enneagram, yep.
Okay. Do you know what number you are?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I always forget. I think I'm like a 7 maybe.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm going to say I don't remember at all.
Okay.
Maybe a 4. But
okay.
I'm like, no,
I don't okay. at all. This is my new obsession when it comes to like personality tests. I think I'm a 6. But so as far as your work and what you were doing, what tell us like a little bit about StrengthsFinder. Like how can people, because I like what you said, you can't do something bad. Like you can only be average at it, what you're bad at, right? So that's so important for people who mm-hmm. also who like want to have jobs they love. You know, a lot of people are so miserable in their jobs. So
totally.
Tell us a little bit about StrengthsFinder and like how it can help someone.
Yeah. So, okay. So really quickly, the actual assessment, there's 34 strengths. You take this online assessment. It takes about 20 minutes. You can go to GallupStrengthsCenter.com. They should be paying me for to do this now.
Seriously.
Maybe
you can develop your own assessment.
Maybe. And you take this assessment and it gives you your top 5 strengths out of the 34. There is an option to also buy the full 34 list, which I love. I think we consider your top 10 to be very dominant. But it's the most individualized assessment out there. And I'm a geek about all this stuff. So I really do love a lot of any sort of personality, self-discovery I'm all about. StrengthsFinder is just... it's just the best because the likelihood that you have the same top 5, not even the same order, just the same top 5 of someone else is 1 in 33 million. So it's like literally so individualized.
Wow.
So you get this and you kind of see, you don't think it's that special because these words are like, well, yeah, that's totally me. Is not everyone else like this? Like, and it's your unique thumbprint. It's your unique lens. So what the whole thing, like you were saying about the positive psychology aspect of this is people are not broken. We don't need to fix you. We don't need you to be well-rounded. You don't have to be good at every single thing. That's exhausting and it's impossible. And like, you're just going to get burnt out and not even, you'll be average if you try to be so well-rounded, right?
Yep.
So the whole goal is to really focus on those things that you do really well and to not ignore the weaknesses, but to manage around them. So we say, how about So like for instance, for me, I'm all relationship building. Like I'm all, that's what I do well. Executing, not so much. I am not so much a taskless person. And it's not that I don't do those things. I obviously have had to get a job and to get through school. But a lot of times I do my best work when I'm with other people, when I'm in a study group, when I'm, you know, being able to connect with people, when I'm able to delegate all of that to someone else who loves to do spreadsheets. Like that's their thing too. So it's a lot about focusing on those things that you do well and being able to manage around those things that you don't through the lens of what you do well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And I think that can build such confidence too, because so often as humans, it's like the negativity bias, right? We, at least in my own life, I experience, I know what I do well, but also my brain goes to, oh, but this is what I don't do well, you know? Yep. So it sounds like this really helps you kind of own your strengths and not feel guilty or shameful about the things you're not as good at. That's okay.
Totally. And not like, not fighting yourself so hard. You know, I think in a lot of it just really to me, I'm like, it just gives you freedom to do what you do well. And I think it's to what you're saying before too about people, so many people, and this is what just breaks my heart. Some people wake up and just don't love their job or don't like their job, right? Like they're dreading Mondays. And the good news, if you really start to think about this from a strength-based lens, it's you don't have to change a job, but you can change how you do the job, right? You can start to focus on the things that you do really well, even in the job that you already have, to try to get more of those moments of flow and more of those positive connections. And yes, sometimes you're going to realize that this is really not the right job for me, and that's a whole other story. But I just think it's so freeing to be like, I don't have to be everything to everyone, and I don't have to keep fighting myself to be something that I'm not. And that if I really get real with myself, I don't want to be that person, you know? So.
Right. It's like sometimes I've said before in the past, like we have to work with ourselves, not against ourselves. And totally. I found, this is like in the body image stuff I do too, like work with the food, you know, like so much we're following a diet and we're eating things we don't really want to be eating. And then we're working against ourselves, you know, so it's translatable in so many areas of your life.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
So real quickly at your job, were you helping people? Basically, you were helping companies and potential candidates find the right fit for each other?
Yeah. So I was doing a lot of selection work. So interviewing for clients where I would interview them over the phone. We have a whole different assessment for that. And then try to see if they were a fit for the culture and for the role for our clients. And that's probably half of my day was doing more of that really HR selection work interviewing. And then what I truly loved was the coaching side. So that was for clients. It was also for a lot of coaches because people get certified to be a StrengthsFinder coach. Mm. And I would be doing a lot of work if they go through the program and I would do these one-off sessions with them after the program, a couple weeks after. And I love that because you just get people from all walks of life, some people starting their own companies, some people trying to roll this out within their organizations, trying to get people just excited about who they are is, you know, so I love coaching other coaches. That's been a really fun part of the whole process. And I'd always end up going more into life stuff with them too.
Sure.
Which, you know, is not necessarily the point of some of that coaching, which is why I'm like, you know, I probably need to go do my own thing. But it was great. Yeah.
It's funny when my certification is transformational nutrition, but what I found is nutrition's only like 25% of it, you know, and then the other 75, right, is
totally
all,
mindset,
it's just life. Yeah, about it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you said about like how you, in your role coaching coaches, and then you know, you have this like beautiful quality about you. So how did that lead into like life coaching? When did you discover what life coaching was, and how did you decide to go about getting certified, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So I think that with life coaching, I resisted the word for so long too, because it just seems so fluffy and just everyone can call themselves a life coach, which is fine. Like there's no judgment against that. It's just, it didn't quite seem right. I'm still actually working with it. I'm like, I am a life coach, but it, you know, I'm still kind of trying to find, words are so important. I'm like, I'm trying to find the exact right thing.
I get it.
But you know, I think it's just one of the biggest things was I just was noticing what I was doing. I mean, when I was coaching in general with Gallup, it would go into the life side, it'd go into the relationship side of things, you know, how they felt about themselves. And that's when I just got so lit up. Like you could, you know, the time flew by. We weren't talking about performance metrics. We weren't talking about how to, you know, increase productivity in teams. Like, I just always would gravitate towards the life side of things. So I think I've just seen that in myself for so long. Being on Instagram and kind of always having an interest in entrepreneurship and coaching in general. I mean, I'm a geek about podcasts. I'm a geek about, you know, so I've been in that space of knowing that people did this for a while. And it was an easy transition just to start doing it on the side. I was doing it for free at first and just kind of figuring it out. And it just kind of kept evolving, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it organically came to you. Yeah. It was like you were drawn to a specific part of your job that you loved, what lit you up, and then yeah, just kind of in your world following people. I want to hear what about your favorite podcasts eventually too, because I am very similar. So many podcasts.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure
we'll get to that.
Okay. Okay, let's shift to, I'd love to know, I always quote Pema Chodron.
Yeah,
I say her name right. Right. Okay. So
I love her.
I know. Oh, do you follow Brooke Castillo at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, of course you. Okay. So I think I probably first learned about her from Brooke, but I since have When Things Fall Apart. It's one
yes.
of those underlined and highlighted books. So I always talk about her thing is, you know, nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need
yes.
to know. So we kind of touched on this a little bit at the beginning, like just the embodying a coach and always kind of learning and, you know, being open to being taught lessons, right? So is there anything, you know, what do you feel like? I'm always talking about lessons on the podcast. Like if I go back and listen to my show, I'm like, I said the word lesson like 100 times. So what do you feel like in your life is a lesson that maybe keeps coming up or that you're, you know, keep expanding into?
That's such a good question. It's one of those, like, you get so caught up in coaching other people. I'm like, I'm going to turn the lens back on myself. That's a hard
right?
one. I think that, I mean, I will go back to this is actually really interesting. So to get like, let's get real here. I think the fear of being seen is a lesson that comes up a lot for me. Mm-hmm. And since Soul Sparks has just gotten so much, I mean, it snowballed really quickly and got so many followers. Really, I was not expecting, like, it was not what I was going for. It was a side passion project, right? And the more that I've gotten clients and the more exposure I've gotten with the Instagram, I've literally just put on weight, like just put it on, right? Because I have a fear of being seen. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those, and this comes up in any capacity if, you know, for in various points in my life. And so I'm now at the point of, you know, even though I'm starting this new business, I'm like, I got to get this, I got to focus on me and really mm-hmm. have this summer be a time of connecting back to myself, of allowing people in and allowing people to see me, even doing, you know, a photo shoot or something. I'm getting new pictures done and, you know, kind of being okay that I'm at a weight that, you know, maybe I wasn't wanting to be at before and just being seen in that way. So it comes up so much in that. And I think with visibility, there's a lot of vulnerability in that. So that's what I'm like, even like literally going through right now and all of this, but it's interesting to kind of have an objective point of view and recognizing that's my pattern. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, okay. Like, and just allowing myself to be in my skin and allowing myself to be go before I'm ready and do some of these things before I'm ready. So that's like literally where I'm at right now.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like the, being seen and like just, exposed, vulnerable. Like there's a lot of, that vulnerability brings a lot of just like, I'm picturing that nervous feeling almost, or just that discomfort. And I imagine sometimes, having, whether it's in the form of weight or whatever, it kind of keeps a little bit of a shield almost, like it's a little protective, if you will.
Yep. It's exactly right. And I know like, one of my favorite, so Marianne Williamson's another one of my favorite, and she does just this phenomenal book called A Course in Weight Loss. So it's like
a
course
yes,
in America.
So
yep.
good. Yeah.
And it's so good. Right. And it's a lot of that's in there about just, and it just makes so much of this is just this fear of, and there's shame tied in it to it. Even like when you don't realize it's there, and it's literally a protective, like I feel like I have to put this on to have this protective layer from me in the world, which when you think about it, I'm like, no, that's like not what I believe at all. Like truly in my soul, I'm this light filled being. Right. So it's, going back to all of that is interesting, but once again, that's a side note.
Yeah, I can just relate so much. That was my own personal journey too, is keeping it on. It wasn't necessarily like the fear of being seen, but like it was a protective thing. Yeah, it was like almost like a form of rebellion. I got to protect myself, prove people wrong. I can be happy without, you know, looking this way. And then, you know, you kind of lose yourself a little bit in the process because you're like, it becomes about other people, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally love that.
Okay, so another thing I want to know about you is I love the advice questions. I love, like, sometimes if I need some writing content, I'll just write to my, like, 20-something-year-old self, my, like, 22-year-old self, right? So now, being your older, wiser self, is there... And it's a really pivotal time for you, right? Like being in corporate job for many years and now going out on your own. And again, like with just kind of what we were talking about with our lessons, being seen, that kind of stuff. What advice maybe would you go back and give your 22-year-old self?
Right. Yeah. First of all, just love that question so much. I think I would say, you know, start before you're ready. Start before you're ready. I think... there's fear in trying sometimes because there's fear in if you try and you fail and it's visible and there's, you know, there's so many self-limiting beliefs around that, right? That are embarrassment and rejection even and all of that. So I think I played it safe before, right? Where it's like, I like to observe. I almost, like, my friends used to call me the narrator. Like, I would just kind of stand back and watch and like, and I loved it. And it's part of why I'm good at my job, but it's also, I was on the sidelines. Like, I wasn't like the main character in my own movie. Right. So I think that one of those things is go before you're ready. So like literally try and it's okay. And it comes back to being seen. Right. So try, find those things that you want to do and try and go before you're ready. And it's okay to fail and it's okay to be seen. And I almost would say, I hope you fail. And I write about this sometimes. I'm like, I hope you fail. I hope you mess up. I hope you get your heart broken because you put yourself out there. And I think it's really important to have boundaries through all of this, but I think it's also the other way is if you keep yourself locked up so tight, you never experience anything and you miss out. And this is a Brené Brown thing. And it's all of that, you know, if you play it safe and you try to, you can escape vulnerability and you can escape shame and a little something, but you also escape joy and love and true connection. So I think I'd go back and say, get out there, like go do your thing and, you know, fail.
That's so good. What is that one? It's fail, fail again, fail better or something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that is something. Oh, it's such good advice. And I still need to hear that. And I'm 31, not 22,
right.
You know. But
right.
That was a huge lesson for me in probably the past like 6 to 8 months is like, there's really no such thing as failing. And when you take that lens toward the world, it makes it seem a whole lot less scary.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've probably shared this already, but of course my coach me is going to turn right back. So what's your advice? Like, what would you give?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, thanks for doing this. Gosh, I wasn't prepared. It would be, you're perfect the way that you are. You don't need to try and change yourself. You don't need to be skinny to be loved. Mm-hmm. I think it would probably be a lot around the body image piece.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would tell her that it's a gift to be who she is. And yeah, like you don't need to be different or better or change yourself. Like you just need to really embody who you are. And that's the answer.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to hear that now.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad we can help each other out. Yeah. I honestly feel like the first time, and maybe it was that week that I mentioned We Are Soul Sparks on the pod, it was exactly what you said about like, just go before you're ready. It's the quote you posted from Hugh Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, that was probably one of my favorite ones that you, I mean, I love everything you put out there, but like that one really spoke to me.
I love it. I love it so much.
Okay, so let's shift a little bit into, I guess, you know, if there's more people coming on the show someday, again, thank you for being my guinea pig. I think I would maybe have some questions around just happiness, health, and well-being that I would want to ask every guest. So let's start with, do you have a definition of happiness?
Happiness to me is having energy. I think happiness is really feeling safe in your skin. And I think the energy piece comes into it in that I know that when I don't feel safe in my skin, I don't have energy, right? I feel like it just feels heavy. I feel this weight that's mental more than anything. And so to me, it's really feeling free to show up as you are, which sounds kind of slippery. Like that sounds like that's self-love can do that sometimes, you know, where it's like, that's cool, but what is that? And so I think happiness can be that way too.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's just being able to feel like there's that, to have energy around what you're doing every day, to feel connected and to feel comfortable in your skin and safe in your skin. And to have other people engage with you in that, like in the connection piece. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm hearing like connection. I'm feeling like safety, comfort, energy. Totally. This is probably why we get along, because my definition is very, it has to do with all of those things. And you're right. It's like the thing about self-love, but like, what is that tangibly, you know?
Right.
And it's very similar to happiness. It's such like a personal, you know, I never want to argue with someone on their definition of happiness. Like,
totally.
You know, yeah. It's like, you can't argue with someone on their definition of God. Like, it's what it's true for you. And that's the point.
Yep. 100%.
So, okay. Speaking of like tying into your definition, do you practice, like, would you say there's any practices that you do, like any daily rituals that you feel like fuel your happiness?
Yes. So I love my morning rituals of, I get up, I go to the, so this is like literally what I do every morning. And if I don't, I notice a significant decrease in like just everything and happiness and joy, whatever. So I get up, I go down to the corner to get Starbucks, and I turn back around and I can see some of the skyline, you know, from, you know, so I get out get out into the actual, you know, outside for the first thing in the morning, get my Starbucks, which is probably not the most, you know, eco-friendly, but you know, it's what I do. So I need to just buy one of those reusable cups.
Yeah,
there we go. Problem solved. and then I come back and I journal. So I journal, just ask myself, and what I always ask myself and what I ask a lot of my clients is just, how do I feel? So I think it's really, I need to ground myself in how do I actually feel in my body? Cause I can get really in my head. I can like kind of explain the situation, but sometimes I totally miss how I actually feel. So I think by grounding myself back into my body in some ways with that, that's been so important. And it's, I mean, I've told people to journal for years and years, but I have to say like in the past 6 months is really when I've myself gotten into the habit, because it's hard. Mm-hmm. And to go super woo woo again, I'm really getting into tarot cards.
Oh, you can never be too woo woo for me. Don't worry.
So I literally will kind of sit there and I'll like ask like my, like I'll ask, sometimes I'll say God, like I'll literally write God. Sometimes I'll write the universe. Sometimes I'll write my spirit guide. Sometimes I'll write intuition. Like, what do I need to hear right now? Or how do I feel light today? Or what do I need to focus on? How do I not feel overwhelmed? And then I'll literally pull a tarot card, and it's like always spot on. And it's so creepy, but that's the purpose of it, right? Like it's just supposed to be self-reflective. You're supposed to take what you want from it. And so then I kind of do a little bit of a meditation. And by that, I just mean just like sitting with it and just kind of like letting it absorb. Meditating is hard for me. I mean, it's one of those things where sometimes I'm really on it for a couple weeks, but it's really hard to stick with it. Journaling, I found, is a much better form of meditation for me. And so I probably do that for about 30 minutes, just kind of sitting there and thinking and just being in that space. So that's really what sets up my day to feel so much better and more in alignment.
I love that. There's something, I feel like sometimes people get overwhelmed by morning routines, right? They're like, oh, what else do I have to squeeze in my day, right? But what you're saying, it's like not necessarily a chore. It's like the fuel that, it's kind of like breakfast, you know, like the fuel that you need.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing too, is you got to find what works for you. And I really think some sort of morning practice is important. Some people are not morning people, and that's totally fine. I think having something that grounds you, even if it's just like a post-it note that you like look at in the mirror when you're getting ready, could be something good. But I think you have to find the things that you end up looking forward to. In the beginning, it does feel like work, because in the beginning, I remember I was like, I can't journal today. Like, I just have to go, go, go. So I'd literally just write, how do I feel today? And I'd respond to it in like two sentences and be on my way. But now, by getting into the habit, I literally look forward to it every single day.
Yeah. So the idea of practices that help you tap into your intuition, right? And like, because again, like, we're always in our minds. And, yeah, you know, I work on this daily too, and help clients like drop into your feeling body. So you kind of mentioned that, like, the journal piece and asking how you feel. Do you ever, it kind of sounds like this is what you're like kind of getting at, but like that channel writing, right? Like, you literally write, mm-hmm, like God, or you write, mm-hmm, intuition. Mm-hmm. And then, like, can you talk about maybe like letting it flow, or like kind of what, when you journal, like what happens?
Yeah. So, and that's, it's so interesting. Like, whenever I go into the intuition piece, like, that's when I really, like, the God piece doesn't, for me personally, like, that's not when this flows. But when I'm like, intuition, like, okay, what do I know to be true? Like, what do I know? Like, what do I need to hear right now? And like, once again, like, that's when it comes out. And it's always like, you are okay. Like, you are, like, you're, you know, where you need to be. And sometimes it gets even more specific, and it's that cool thing. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, it literally just pours out of you, but it doesn't feel like you. Like, it does, but it doesn't. Yeah. And it's like, you're answering yourself in this really cool, like, you know, higher, you know, self kind of thing. But yeah, so I'll just ask myself, like, what do I need to hear? You know, what am I afraid of? What am I, whatever? And it just, it goes, and it just kind of flows from there. So I don't know if that answers anything, but it really is like that channeled writing.
Totally. It's like, I sometimes say all the answers that we need are inside of us.
Yes.
And, you know, for many years, I feel like I was just in the grind, not necessarily because of the job, but like, just, I didn't have the awareness really, mm-hmm, about this kind of thing. But, you know, when I say like the answers are inside of us, it's the whole practice of like getting quiet and listening and like channeling and finding, discovering those answers through the spiritual practice, connection to our higher selves, you know, mm-hmm, you know, we can bring all that stuff into it. God, universe, intuition, higher self. Like, anyways, I'm so into woo-woo stuff. Like, look, I have a crystal right sitting here with me.
I love it.
I've got my angel cards, so girl. So don't,
yes,
worry.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much.
Okay. A few more. Can you tell us what you're most proud of right now?
I'm proud of taking this leap and starting my own company. You know, I mean, that it's really scary for me for a lot of these kind of like being seen, the fear of being seen kind of things. And I downplay it a lot. And I think like just recently I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's cool. That I'm trying to, yeah, to push myself to do something that's like, it's in my comfort zone in some ways, but it's so out of my comfort zone in most ways. So yeah, I'm proud of that.
I'm proud of you too. It's like the most liberating and scary thing I've ever done as well. So I think,
so was, you know,
I get it. Yeah. I think it was probably Bert Castillo who was like, the path of becoming an entrepreneur basically brings up every insecurity or piece of doubt, shadow of doubt that you have in your being. So
I'm not responsible that. Enough. I'm not organized enough. I'm not, right? I can't network. I can't sell myself. Totally. I can't, like, who'd want to buy what I have to say? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
So I'm gonna bust through those.
Okay. And you will. Okay. What are you most grateful for in your life right now?
I am so grateful for, and like, we're just coming up Mother's Day. I'm like, I'm so grateful to have a family that's supportive and excited for me, and friends that are excited for me. And honestly, like, this, all the connections, like, so the people in my life in the past couple weeks have just been like insane. Like, even like this, like having this conversation here with you today, it's, I just am reminded that there's synchronicity out there, and there's people that like you don't even know yet that you're going to meet on this journey. And I think it's having the support of people that you've loved for a long time, and then meeting new people and just adding to your tribe. And so that's just been happening a lot recently that I'm like, oh gosh, like, the universe is cool. Like this yes. is all so cool. And I'm so grateful for it.
Yes. When you're saying that there's people out there like you don't even know yet, sometimes I that's such a healing thought, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially in romantic relationships too. Like, yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if you ever feel, if there's anyone out there who's listening to us chat and you ever feel alone, like, you know, you can really think, like, let yourself imagine, like, he's out there or whatever, he or she is out there. You just don't even know it yet. And that should excite you. It's the same thing with, like, what you're saying.
It makes my heart, like, so excited about that stuff, because I am, like, I am very single right now. And I've been single for, like, you know, like 4 years. And that's another thing of, like, being on the sidelines, right? And I think it's one of the things, like, lately I'm, like, the connections that I'm making, I'm like, oh, no, no, okay, I need to get back in my own life here. I need to get back in the game. And that's, like, the thought that keeps me, like, I just see it happening I see it happening all around me. And I'm, like, for the first time in a while, connecting it back to myself. Because once again, we can get to that coach mode where it's about all about others. I'm like, oh my God, like, I have not met him yet. Like, I haven't met him yet. And, like, I have, you know, there's so many people I haven't met yet. And it's so exciting. So yep. I'm geeking out about
that. I totally agree. I get it. Okay. So speaking of romance and relationships, and we touched a little bit on self-love before, but and, like, what it, I want to know what it means to you. But before, like, it relates to relationships, because the lesson I found in my life is you have to love yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, and this is not just romantic relationships, this is all relationships, right?
Totally, yeah.
So can you just talk to us a little, and you touch again, like, I feel like, because what I'm so passionate about, like, sharing stuff about, like, body image and mm-hmm. our relationships with ourselves, a lot of times conversations go this way, but and it doesn't have to for you, but it, like, tell me maybe a little bit about just, like, your relationship to, like, loving yourself, and then how you've maybe seen that connect to, like, what it means to love yourself first and how it really matters.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me, like, literally is taking care of your body, right? It's not about the weight whatsoever. Like, and I think who says, maybe this is Jeanine Roth. Do you know that Women, Food, and God? Yes. Have you read that one? Mm-hmm. I love that too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about the weight, but it's not about the weight. Like, but I think it's moving your body. It's like knowing your body. So I think it's just being intimate with yourself in the way of, like, looking at your body sometimes. Like, I will have to force myself, you know, when I'm in these periods of these downswings, to look at my body in the mirror and just be like, it's okay. Cause we avoid it. We can, like, just literally, but when you're so disconnected with yourself, like, you don't trust other people to see you or to hug you or to whatever, you know? Yep. So I think that is so important. That just, like, literally happens by moving. Take a walk, you know, like, I need to get outside. I need to feel my body working. I need to start, you know, working out, doing yoga. That's important. And also, I'm not going to downplay the importance of, like, buy clothes that you like, you know, like, every month, like, invest something that you, like, literally want, like, are excited to wear, no matter what size you are, even if you've gained 20 pounds, right? Like, to get back into these things where you feel good, even if it's a tiny bit better. I think those are so important. But I think, so once again, it's slippery. It's a slippery concept of, like, what it means to love yourself and all of this. But I think it's, in so many basic ways, it's just to be okay. It's just to, like, say, you know what, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm okay. Like, I'm okay. And I also think, really quickly, to keep on riffing here,
please.
I think that I so agree that we need to love ourselves and have a connection with ourselves first. I also agree, or, like, I also think that, like, we need to, sometimes we keep waiting for the end result. Like, we think that we're going to feel so much different. And I think we have to be constantly working on ourselves to be pouring that love and also going out there and making connections, even if we don't quite feel ready yet. Right.
Yes.
So, cause we can wait for, we'll be waiting for forever. If we really, like, oh no, one day I'll love myself and then I'll be good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So many people, I've experienced this on my own and helped a lot of other people. It's like, they don't want to date until they look a certain way, or mm-hmm. I'm just working on myself right now. Like, yep. I'll date when I'm ready. You know, like,
yep.
I think there is a level where you do need to feel confident, but it is, like, being totally okay and seeing yourself, and that whole, like, the way you use the word intimate when you first started, like, I love breaking down the word intimate, like, into me, mm-hmm. I see. Like, and that's kind of what you're saying.
Yes.
It's like really seeing yourself. Like, sometimes I'll sit in front of the mirror, you know, it's just like that is that just being in it and present for you.
Totally. I totally agree with all of that. And I love that into me, I see. Like,
yes.
I love that.
Oh,
that's great.
So good.
I'm so stealing that.
Perfect. Use it. Yeah. Okay, let's go to, because, oh my gosh, we're almost going to be kind of coming up on an hour here. Let's go to a couple of like our riff questions. So I want to know what your favorite podcasts.
Okay, so my favorite podcast right now, I love Being Boss.
Ooh, okay.
And it's an entrepreneurship. It's just a bunch of women just riffing on what it means to have your own company and all that goes into, and I just love it. I actually went through a course of one of theirs recently that it's just like a mastermind kind of group. And I just love these people so much. So it's, and it can get kind of woo woo. It can get kind of, you know, but it's just about doing the work, and owning that. So I love that. Like right now I have a lot of like entrepreneurship stuff, right?
Sure. So I love the one, how the content we listen to is always what we're, yeah.
Totally what we're in at the time. Because I have about 30 podcasts. I'm like just going to literally pull it up right now of what I always listen to. But How I Built This is a new one that just came out.
It's, love that one.
On NPR. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it's just so cool. And it's always the same message of like, I wasn't ready to do this, but I did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have and you listened to the incredible Sarah Blakely episode on that one?
Yes.
Talk about girl crush alert.
I know. She is just, I so agree. Like, she is everything. I love The Lively Show. So yes. Jess Lively. Mm-hmm. She's good. She's talking so much about like a law of attraction and kind of all that, which I am all about. And That's So Retrograde, which is like super woo woo. Mm-hmm. And these girls are just funny. Mm-hmm.
I haven't dabbled in that one yet, but it's on my list. Thank you for
it's good.
It.
It's cute. I love the Life Coach School podcast as well. I love her. And I was like, I had a freak out moment because she followed me like the other day. And I was like, oh, I feel like I made it. If Brooke Castillo was following me. Like it was like just like literally fangirling like over everything. I dork out like so hard.
Totally. I know. Like it's like that little like burst of like, oh my gosh. Like yep. I totally get it. Okay. Any books that you're like, you mentioned Women, Food, and God. I love that one. Is there any other ones that like the listeners that are tuning into us need to check out?
Okay. Game changers for me. A Return to Love is like Marianne Williams. Like I go back like every couple months to this one and I always find new things in it. Like it just to me is everything. Same with, The Untethered Soul. By Michael Singer, it just makes sense. He's logical because, like, once again, I'm pretty pragmatic in a lot of ways, but also super woo in others. So I love the way that he phrases things because I love the spiritual side, but I also sometimes like it can get too God languagey for me, even though I really believe in that. It's good to have a contrast there. And Big Magic, I love Elizabeth Gilbert. Mm-hmm. I love everything about that she writes. Glennon Doyle Melton, love her. Brene Brown, love her. Like, there's something, I'm like, there's so much. Like, I can't even begin to go into it.
Sometimes it's overwhelming. I need to, like, rein it in. Yeah. Okay. I want to play, I didn't send you these, but I came up with them last night. They're either ors. Okay, but first, so on my podcast every week, we talk about, because I'm obsessed with snacks, favorite snack of the week. So can you tell us what your favorite snack is?
Yes. Okay. So Pirate's Booty.
Ooh, like, good one.
I love Pirate's Booty like so much. And it's gluten-free, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Cause I have a strong sensitivity to wheat, which I am just learning. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you know it. So do you know Pirate's Booty? I feel like some people don't know what that is.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's really weird. Just if you don't know what it is, then it sounds really, really weird, but Pirate's Booty.
Okay, good. I'm going to have to add that one into my rotation. I haven't bought it in a while. Okay, and here's our either or, and then we'll give you my wrap up question.
Okay,
so just the first, like, these are just like the first thing that comes. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Ocean or mountains?
Ocean.
Walks or runs?
Walks.
Red or white?
White.
Was that fun?
That was so fun.
Okay, good. I'll work on adding more, but yeah, I'll work on adding more. But those are the ones I came up with last night. Okay, Kristen, thank you so much for coming on. Before we ask the final question, can you just, I don't know, tell the people who are listening some parting words, mostly about like where they can find you, like how they can connect with you, like what do you want them to know?
Yeah. So for logistics here, you can find me on Instagram at We Are Soul Sparks, and online at on my website, kristinlohr.com. And I have a newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. So that's really where it's kind of my long form blog. I am planning on putting up a real blog soon.
Great.
And
we need it.
And kind of planning some webinars and some new things here, as once again I have more time to do them now that I'm on my own. So there's that. And as for just like parting words, it literally goes back to every single time, like, we're in this together. Mm. Like, I think that's the coolest thing that I've just seen from my own journey and just from everything that's going on in the world right now. It's like we're just so more connected than we think that we are. We're so more similar while still being like totally unique. And I think that's part of the messiness of being human, is that we can have so many competing parts, but still have the same heart as other people. Right. So I think, yeah, that's my final words, is we're in this together.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. I totally agree with you. Okay. And also, you guys, it's Kristin with an I, KRISTIN, Lohr, yes. LOHR.com. The I and the E, yes. You never know.
I know, it's a tricky one.
It's like Gina. Is it a GINA or GENA?
Yep.
Okay. Our final farewell question will be, what does it mean to you to be full on happiness?
Which I just love that this is your whole handle and this is your whole brand. To be full on happiness, I feel like it's literally feeling safe in your skin and feeling safe to be seen and understanding that we're in this together.
I love it. Thank you for being in this together with me today, Kristin.
Thank you, Gina.
It was so awesome to meet you. Wasn't that so much fun, you guys? I absolutely love Kristin, and I just so acknowledge her for the work that she does in the world and all the positivity and the inspiration that she brings to the world and really sharing her unique gifts. And I'm so lit up by her, and I hope that you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. It's funny, after we hung up the phone or the Skype call, we stayed on for like, you know, at least another 45 minutes chatting about life and just everything. That's one of my favorite things in this life, is when you get to connect with people who you feel there is a soul connection with, that you can say anything to, and that you can go to those places that you so desperately want to go. It's so much fun, and I think it's such a gift. So thanks for tuning in. I hope that you learned a lot, and I hope that you enjoyed the interview format. Might as well mix them in, right? So if there's any guests that you want to learn more about, or there's any ideas that you have of people to interview, send them over, because I'd love to hear your ideas. Thank you again, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in, friends. For more happy lifestyle inspiration, visit fullonhappiness.com. I'll see you next week.